giving you the heads up. Now we're going to start. I'm going to read the entire psalm again. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His loving kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117. Now, we've talked about the first Thanksgiving Day that happened, and we've recounted the story. And in this psalm, Thanksgiving Day with the pilgrims, and they invited the people who helped them, that would be the Native Americans, they invited the people, and they praised God in front of the natives and in front of each other. Now, the psalm that I just read, there's a reason for I'm saying that. The psalm I read, it says, praise the Lord, all nations laud Him, or if you use King James, all peoples praise Him, or all nations praise Him. There's a reason that I'm saying, pointing out that they did this in a very public way, because the first praise, actually it's a hallel, and that's the Hebrew word for praise, and that's where we get the word hallelujah, hallelujah. And when it talks about the nations, it actually uses like Gentile is the word that it's using, and it says to laud Him all peoples, laud Him all Gentiles, laud Him all nations. And the word laud a lot of times is translated also as praise, but it's actually a different word. It actually means to proclaim loudly, to proclaim out loud, and it's not talking to the Jewish people, it's talking to us. He's saying to us, this psalmist is saying, praise the Lord, and all you Gentiles out there, proclaim it clearly, proclaim it loudly, that God is great and He's worthy of praise. The idea of praise is not just standing around going, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, oh, you're grand, there's nobody like you, like we've got to massage God's ego to try to get Him to come through to us or for us with something. It is for us to proclaim clearly, if need be, loudly in a situation so that people know right where we stand. Our God is God supreme. Our God hears and answers our prayers. Our God leads, guides, and directs. My God changed my life. My God is great. And he's saying this needs to be done in a very public situation. When we read the Old Testament, it talks about them sacrificing. And it wasn't done in secret. They would go to a hill so that everybody in the town around them would say, oh, look, there's John Doe up there, and he's sacrificing to his God. And everybody knew that he was doing it. And the guy would stand there on top of the hill and say, praise you, my God. You are a great and wonderful God. You are the true God, and I will follow you. So that everybody in the surrounding area would know what he was doing. Even when it comes to the time of the tabernacle and the temple, there were so many people that when they would start doing the praises of God and repeating these psalms of ascent, and they would start going up to the temple. They didn't go inside the temple. There was millions of people, at least hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and they usually think it's about 2 million people during the Romans times would show up, and they would surround outside, and they would all together be saying the praises of God in very public location so that even the Romans would know that their God was great and almighty. So it was always done in a very public situation. So we are also to be giving thanks to God. And the word praise is closely connected in with the idea of saying thank you. But it's not in the idea of massaging God's ego. We're proclaiming it so other people will know that God does hear, act, and answer. God keeps His word, and how we are trusting in Him. That was one of the reasons I was so glad when Gary showed up, because what he was doing was saying this. 1955, God heard the prayers of Glenwood Church. Yes, 2 hours of prayers. Yes, My dad survived what they didn't think he was going to survive. And within a year, he told me this later at the store, he said within the year, he went back and the doctor said, you have absolutely no evidence of ever having any heart trouble. And he said, my dad lived, like Chuck said, 28 years my dad lived, never had heart trouble, never had any health issues whatsoever, except a little high blood pressure. He said he never had any issues whatsoever. And the miracle is there, is that they said that not only he might not survive, but if he did, he would always be ailing from heart issues. And he wanted us to understand. And so he came down here and publicly proclaimed that God does hear and answer prayer. So that's what prayer is about. Now we're at the second part of this, where it's up to you to give testimony, to stand up and say things like, I want to publicly thank God because of what He's done this past year or within my life, or like the Gary that showed up back in 1955, I want people here to remember and to know what God has done. Now, as you talk, I will probably repeat this back to you because, honestly, there's people who hear and listen to this service. Some of them are in Ireland. Some of them are in China. Some of them are in Canada. And then there's various people in America that do listen to this. So I will repeat what you say somewhat so that they can hear what's going on in the church. Is there any person brave enough, come on, to stand up and say, I want to thank God for, and tell us what God has done in their life?
I'd like to thank God for helping Robert. Here I go, helping Robert like he did. God still have him. And for how he's been helping him. And sometimes it has to go a little slower than what we think. But that's God's timing, and he is getting better. And his cardiologist that we were sent to, we were told right there in the office from another patient that he was the best. So there's God working again. And he also needs praise for what you guys did for us in your love offering. Truly touched our hearts. And all my family and friends have helped me through so much, and it's God's working. And Doral came all the way down there, driving all that way down just to ask about Robert and spend a little time in helping myself and the family, and I appreciate that very much too. And I just praise God that he's here and helps us like he does.
Amen. I don't think I'm going to have to repeat these because, honestly, the person that edits it says, you know, I can hear people cough. So we're going to go with that. Thank you. Very good. See, God's still in the prayer answering business for this church. Anybody else? While you're thanking it, oh, we got one.
When the choir sang, thank you, Lord, when you read those words, you know, it says you thank friends and for home and for flowers and all those things that mentioned. But the most important down in the chorus is for saving my soul. And he can save anyone's soul that comes to him. And for making me whole. You know, I'm not a whole person until I had Christ. And then there's just so many things. I can also thank for the having a good day at work, which is rare in my case, you know. But, and just so many things, you know, that the amount of time he's let me have my daughter with me when she wasn't supposed to live very long. And just, he's just a wonderful Lord. Just thank him for everything, because without him, we'd have nothing.
Amen. Don't be bashful now.
I've got a little piece of slate on my desk there at Brookstone. It says on top, I thank you for, and a piece of chalk I'm going to have on my grocery rack for the Lord Jesus Christ, my family, and a place to sleep here.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for our health, Gary and I both, and I'm thankful for the girls that God gave us and for saving my soul. But most importantly, I'm really proud of them grandkids.
Good. Anybody else? While you're mulling it over, I want to say I'm thankful for people like Kobe that comes on Sunday night to church. You might not know it, but he hires kids to work for him. And one of his main intentions is not just to get the work done, but it gives him the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. They don't always stay, but the seed's planted in their head that they did hear about Jesus. And Kobe is an active young guy. In my eyes, he's an active young guy. So it's great to see that people are active in witnessing. Anybody else? No pressure. I'm not going to look at anybody.
I'd like to thank God as God. And we can start from the front end of that church. I could all the way to the back, right down. And we can't ever think of enough things that God does and what God is. But the thing that I'm pushing 65 right now that I realize is that throughout our lives, each and every one of us here in this room, or in this church, each and every one of us has someone at some time that, for whatever reason, hasn't lived up to what we thought as humans that they should. And that's not right of us to do that. It's not right of me to do it. God doesn't do it. Thank God He doesn't.
Amen.
Because I don't know how many times a day He'd have to look at me and say, "Well, Phil, old buddy, I don't like that, you know." So I think what He's taught me is just not to take things so serious about other people and things, and to let God handle it. Because He is in control, and He will handle it. So. And I, other than that, it's a great day.
Amen. Anybody? While you're thinking about it, I'll bring up another person. Most people don't know, well, you would know them if I told you who they were, because they are local. But there's been a foreign-owned company that's laid a bunch of people off here lately. And one of the people was laid off as a Christian. And this other Christian man heard about it. And though his wife works a full-time job, he works full-time job, he hired this guy to go to work for him, to help him out right here at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and to try to keep him going, because the guy that got laid off has some kids. And that is Christianity in action. He's out there trying to keep this man active and encouraged. And so he just comes right out and hires him. I don't know how long he'll be able to keep him hired, but he's doing what he can to. And that's what love is giving preference over and trying to help people out. He's not just, the man that got laid off is not going to be standing around with his hand out. He's actually doing something, and he's setting an example for the kids. But the one that nobody knows about is the one that went out of his way to hire him. And I thank God for Christians like that. Your turn. I've had a heads up, so I've had a chance to think. Come on this side, it's your turn. Or is it this side? No, it's this side. Come on. Yes.
I'd like to thank the Lord for being there for Keith and I through our last year and a half that we had the illness and surgeries. And I'd also like to thank Him for my mother, who her last visit, doctor said she was a very healthy 91-year-old lady. And we're very proud of her.
91. I didn't know that. Anybody else?
I want to thank God for all the blessings.
And one of the things I thank God for is y'all. Every last one of you. Some of you are great and some of you are cantankerous. But I thank God for you anyway. No, really. This church is blessed of God and has been ever since at least 1955, because God has heard your prayers and still does, because we're hearing about it. Anybody else?
Thank God for Doyle. I thank God for coming into my life and being able to come to Glenwood Church.
Amen. I'm going to have to pay her money for that, aren't I? Maybe just a free chicken dinner. Anybody else?
I want to thank God for coming. He sent a man down here, especially for Willie. And so Willie accepted God, and now he comes to church with me all the time. And I want to thank God for leading us to the Oklahoma church.
Amen. Anybody else?
We'd like to thank you for our new additions. They had a rough time getting here, but they're doing sort of okay right now. They're both sick with respiratory infections, but they're starting to show improvement. And so that makes 7 great blessings for us. And I'd like to thank you for my mama. And she holds us all together. She doesn't know it, but she holds us all together. All of us.
By the way, if you came Wednesday night, you would have saw how cute those little kids were. Everybody kept passing them around. Oh, let me hold them. They are cute. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't be left out.
I just want to thank God for the opportunities He's given to both Marianne and myself, and to this church supports us in prayers and financially when we go to mission trips, and how eye-opening it is for us, and how God has led us and has given us opportunities through those to continue and just thank Him that He is a God who's in control of all things and makes it possible for us to go. And I know each and every one in here has their own mission field. And it may not be Haiti, it may not be Pine Haven, but everybody has their own mission field. And I'm just so thankful that God has given us the ability to work on those mission fields and wherever they may be, whatever they encompass. And thankful that he provides for us and provides very well.
Amen.
I thank God that He is everything. He is the great I Am. He created me and brought me through this life, and He takes care of me every day, and I thank Him.
Amen. I realize public speaking is one of the hardest things there is to do. But we're not public. We're Glenwood. So don't be bashful. You can't mess it up. Look what I do every Sunday up here. Y'all laugh at me anyway.
You bring joy in our lives.
You just don't know me. Anybody want to stand up and tell the truth this time? Anybody else got something they want to share? Okay. Don't think. Oh, yeah. Way to go.
I thank God for those things that we so easily take for granted, our family and our friends and our loved ones, because when it gets right down to it, that's what we really have left.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, you still got another chance. And this is where it gets even harder. The word praise in Hebrew is thank you, but it also, the connotation when you start studying the word and you have to scratch around for it, is we praise Him for what He's done. But it also has that idea that when we praise God, we're also supposed to praise Him for what we trust Him to do in the future. So we are to be people of faith like Abraham when he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you all the ground that you've been walking over. You'll never see it, but your kids will have it. And he stood up and said, thank you for that. He said, Abraham, I know you don't even have one kid yet, but go outside and look. Your children are going to be like the stars of heaven and like the sand of the sea. And he said, I don't have one kid yet, but thank you, because that's going to happen. So at this time, because we are to be people of faith, there's lots of promises in the scripture, and I would like somebody to step up and say, I want to thank God because I expect him to do this in my future. There are promises that's made in the Bible that's given to us that we can say, God said it, just like he told Abraham, and I don't know when, but I expect him to do this in my future. We got somebody that's really brave, wants to stand up on that one? Amen.
Well, I'm very thankful for this church, and I'm one of the few people that was probably here in 1955, and all the just miraculous things and answered prayers that we've had through all the years, and I expect God will continue with that.
Amen.
Until he comes and we have a resurrection. And I have faith that my family and descendants and people who come after me, the Bible will still be here for them. Hopefully this church will be here, but God will always be there for us and keeping his promises.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to take one of those future I thank you and take a stand for?
We sang a song at the ending. I'm going to sing Count Your Blessings. We can sit down and take a pencil and paper and write our blessings down and compare it to what the world has. God really blesses us now, but we can look forward to the future for a lot more.
Amen. Anybody else? You know I'm going to start talking in a minute.
We thank him for the supplying of our needs that he has met so far, and we're going to trust him to supply the rest of our needs from here on out.
Amen. Okay. I would like to share this with you. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Some translate that as, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." He's got plans for us. And when we walk by faith, even though bad things can happen, we can still say, "My God has made promises to me, and I trust that he will come through on those promises." I'm going to read you some of these promises. One, he will provide for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Two, God will help us through the Holy Spirit. We will never go through it alone. John chapter 14, 26. This is also future. God will provide a way out of our testings. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Jesus Christ will provide for you joy. John 15, 11. The Holy Spirit will be a source of strength for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. God the Father provides eternal protection for us. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Jesus will bless us with greater blessings than what we lose in following him. If you have lost something because you followed Jesus Christ, he says, "I will give you an increase more than what you had." Mark 10, verse 29, and a few verses on to that. God provides for us a place and a role, something to do in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. God promises that one day we will be with him. John 14, 2 through 3. We're promised that one day we'll be just like Jesus. That's in Philippians 1, 6 and again in 1 John 3, 2. We're promised that we'll see him. Revelation 22, 3 through 5. He'll wipe every tear away from us. Revelation 21, verse 4. A good future is promised to us, and that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. The Lord says death is not an end for us. That's Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And this one I really like. He says He's not angry with us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. He's not angry with us now, and He's not going to be angry with us tomorrow. He's going to help us, He's going to lead us, and He's going to guide us. But He's not angry with us. He's not going to turn His back on us. We have promises of things future yet, and we can thank Him that those things will happen in our life. Now, one last thing I would like to thank God for, and this is a future thing for Glenwood Church. I have said since I've come back here that one of the reputations is, if you have some kind of issue or problem, when in doubt, call your Pentecostal friends because they know how to pray. I am believing God that things are going to change and people are going to say, if you've got problems and issues, call someone at Glenwood Church because God hears their prayers and answers their prayers. I believe that's going to become almost a byword around here. I'm going to be trusting God because I think He really has called us into the prayer service, and I mean that as a ministry, to pray. And God has, as you've heard our prayers in the past, and I believe He'll continue to do it to the point it will become obvious to people that we are blessed people. Shall we stand and sing hymn number?